Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Our interview today is sponsored by a hidden gem in Starkville, Mississippi, Alora Modern Wellness. Founded by healthcare veterans Rich and Lisa Lopez, Alora offers cutting-edge therapies like whole-body cryotherapy, infrared saunas, LED light treatments, and assisted stretching, all designed to relieve pain, reduce stress, and boost recovery. Whether you're an athlete, a busy professional, or simply seeking balance, Alora provides personalized care in a serene setting. Located at 821 C Highway 12 across from Kroger, it's your local destination for modern wellness. Discover more at aloramodernwellness.com. The last opponent preview of the 2025 season, but the first opponent preview of 2026 falls to Wake Forest and Connor O'Neill of Deacons Illustrated, part of the On3 Network. And Connor, as a guy who's watched a lot of SEC football over the last few years, I had thought the ship had sailed on Robbie Ashford ever being any kind of quarterback. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I watched him play. I was like, gosh, if he would just move to receiver or something, he could be a star because he's a great athlete. They finally cracked the code for him at Wake Forest. How did they do it?
Oof. They've put him in the right positions, right? Like they've used him as a runner. They've not been the greatest offense in the world, even in the ACC, but they've at least they gave him enough weapons. I say that in light of the 12 games that were this season and not the bowl game, because two of those big weapons are going to be missing for Wake. But they've done a lot of work with Robbie, and it paid off. Watching fall camp practices, it was the lean was Robbie, and it was more because he was the safer pick. He was the one that didn't turn the ball over seemingly once every 5 to 10 throws like Deshaun Purdy does. And ball security has been a little bit of an issue at times with Robbie, but not anywhere close to where it's lost Wake games. So they've done a good job with him. I would also say, I mean, there's something to be said for a guy who's in his sixth year as a quarterback is going to be better than he was in the first five.
Yeah.
Right. Like he has learned, he has grown. He's definitely not the same person and not the same quarterback that he had been at Auburn and at South Carolina.
And then you just kind of hit on it there. Some big pieces missing for Wake Forest in this one. Demond Claiborne has opted out as a result of going into the NFL draft. Chris Barnes has opted out just to hit the transfer portal. Who has to step into their roles for the Demon Deacons?
Yeah, to start with Barnes' role, it'll be Carlos Hernandez as the, I think, main target for Robbie. And that's a little bit of a natural progression because, you know, the stats line up and they tell the 12-game story and say that they were like 10 yards different in receiving yards this year. Carlos Hernandez had like 390 yards in the last three games. He really came on strong. He had a rough first 2 months. Confidence was a big issue, both as a receiver and as a punt returner. And then he scored the only touchdown of the game when Wake won at Virginia. It was an 88-yard punt return. And that kind of catapulted him over the last few weeks of the season. So he's going to be the big piece in the receiving game. Chris Barnes is going to be a hell of a guy to miss, though. Like, he was electric. They would try to get him on the jet sweeps and the pop passes, motioning into the backfield, that type of thing. And he's just dynamic, a threat to score every time he touched the ball. Running back is a little bit different. They basically played a game without Demond Claiborne already this year. He played about three or four snaps in the opener against a Kennesaw State team that was a lot better than any of us realized at the time. I don't think anybody watched that one and thought the Owls would be I think the bowl game gave them 10 wins this year.
Mm-hmm.
But Wake scored 10 points in that game, and it was a whole lot of 2 and 3 yard Robbie Ashford direct snap keepers and one big explosive play that got Wake a field goal that gave him a 10-9 win. And I think Kennesaw State missed an extra point or had one blocked that was also the difference in the game. So Wake's offense without Demond Claiborne is going to be something to watch. I mean, he's been the most important player on Wake's offense for the last two seasons. I think 95% of the teams in the country would tell you the quarterback is the most important part of the offense. Demond Claiborne has been the most important player for Wake's offense these last 2 years. And they're going to miss the hell out of him. Ty Clark is a capable running back. He was decent as a backup this year. He had some big plays. DeMond missed the second half in a win at Virginia Tech in, I think it was early October. He had some big plays down the stretch, but he's not the type of home run threat that DeMond was, again, every time he touched the ball. I mean, these are two guys that anytime you put the ball in their hands, they were a threat to go create an explosive play. And that's just Carlos Hernandez might have a little bit of that, but I don't see that with Ty Clark. They'll get Jamario Clements in there. He's a transfer from a lower level. He had some carries early in the season and kind of lost ground in the running back pecking order. And then Jamar Searcy is a little bowling ball of a freshman running back that'll probably get some run too.
It's interesting looking at Wake defensively, and this is a team with 25 sacks on the year. That's a pretty good number. But nobody, there's not just one guy in there that's, a 7-8 sack guy. Mississippi State, a lot of sacks on the year they've given up, but that was with Blake Shapen behind center. Now Kamario Taylor, a much different animal back there. What success has Wake had this year with quarterbacks who were able to run the football?
So I go all the way back to the Georgia Tech game, and I look at what Haynes King did, because you look at Wake's schedule. I mean, Gio Lopez was a really mobile quarterback, but that Carolina offense was a bit of a disaster all year. That's really, I have trouble judging what Wake did against Carolina's offense. Other than that, I mean, you look at Kevin Jennings and who he's been in college. He did not have a lot of rushing yards against Wake Forest, but Kevin Jennings was playing hurt most of the year, and I think he was very reticent to run the ball this year. So it's hard to put a lot of stock in what Wake did to limit his running in that late October win. So again, like I said, go back to what Wake looked like against Haynes King. He had over 100 yards rushing, but it was an overtime game, and I think he only averaged about, I think, high fours or maybe 5 yards a carry in that one. And Haynes King ran against everybody. I mean, I think he finished top five in the ACC for rushing yards, and he was the best quarterback in the league. So
Feels like,
it's good.
yeah, I was gonna say, feels like this Wake Forest defense is, there's just so many guys to keep an eye on. Like I said, there's not that one guy that you can just circle and say, hey, if you can eliminate him. If there is a guy on that, on this defense, who is that guy?
I think if you're talking about the defensive line, you probably want to make sure Langston Hardy is blocked first and foremost. He's been the most disruptive edge rusher they have. But Gabe Kirschke's been really good too, and Gabe Kirschke played the first half of the season with a hand injury and played with a hard cast and a club on one of his hands. And so he was a lot healthier in the second half and was more productive because of that. The heartbeat of Wake's defense is Nick Anderson at safety. I mean, he's the sixth-year guy. He's played a ton of football. I think he's going to finish his career in the top 10 of tackles for Wake Forest all time. And that's, I always think that's more impressive today because they don't track tackles the same way that they did, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And teams throw the ball more. It's harder to rack up 120, 150 tackles in a season. And so he's the one that runs the alley. He is still a little bit of a liability in coverage, but he will make plays when it matters, when it counts. He had a PBU on the last play of the game against Virginia Tech in his home state. It's always been a big talking point with Nick. He came to Wake Forest as a preferred walk-on from Virginia because the Virginia schools kind of didn't want him or didn't think he was good enough, and he's an all-ACC safety. And so that's the one guy that if he's able to impact this game, it's going to mean a lot for Wake's sideline. It's going to mean a lot for kind of the overall vibe of Wake's defense.
One thing we do on this podcast when we do our previews is we have an X factor, not necessarily a guy who's going to be the offensive player of the game or the defensive player of the game, just a guy who might make a play or two that makes a huge difference. Who could that guy be for Wake Forest?
I'm racking them. I'm rolling through the roster and rolling through the depth chart. The default in my mind would be the tight end, Anifelai. He's a great story. He played at UMass and played at Utah Tech and had a combined 6 wins in his first 4 seasons of college football, coming from awful programs. And he's thrilled, obviously, to win 8 games this year. He's a legitimate like NFL prospect at tight end. I don't know that he's going to be a draft pick, but he's a big bodied 6'4", 230, 240 pound tight end that can get out and roll. And especially without Chris Barnes, without another receiver who's entering the transfer portal, Micah Mays is also not playing in this game. They're going to need some guys to step up and catch the football. And I would think Enifalai, he had an ankle injury that hobbled him a little bit in November. I would assume a month later he's not dealing with the same type of thing like that. That should be all healed up and ready to go. And I would think getting him out in space, getting him over the middle would be a pretty big boost.
We'll see what happens on Friday. We'll see who gets dumped with mayonnaise. You're a mayonnaise fan? I am not.
No,
Fair enough.
I've told everybody that if I was Jake Dickert, I would go into the staff meeting and say, all right, who is volunteering for a $10,000 raise?
I asked Levy the same. He said, I don't like mayonnaise, but I've never been more excited to have it dumped on me. So we'll see how it all turns out. Connor O'Neill, Deacons Illustrated. Appreciate your time, man. Happy New Year to you.
Thanks, Brian. Happy New Year to you too.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.